Samuel 18 through 19:10. Then David took account of the people who were with him and appointed over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent the people out, a third under the command of Joab, a third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third under the command of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, "I myself will certainly go out with you also." But the people said, "You should not go out. For if in fact we flee, they will not care about us. And if half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. So now it is better that you will be ready to help us from the city." Then the king said to them, "Whatever seems best to you, I will do." So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. But the king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently with the young man Absalom for my sake." And all the people heard when the king commanded all the commanders regarding Absalom. Then the people went out to the field against Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. The people of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. For the battle there was spread over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Now Absalom encountered the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the branches of a massive oak. Then his head caught firmly in the oak, and he was left hanging between the sky and earth, while the mule that was under him kept going. When a certain man saw him, he informed Joab, and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Then Joab said to the man who had informed him, "So behold, you saw him. Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And it would have been my duty to give you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." But the man said to Joab, "Even if I were to receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king commanded you, Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Protect the young man Absalom for me.' Otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have avoided me." Then Joab said, "I will not waste my time here with you." So he took 3 spears in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel. For Joab restrained the people, and they took Absalom and threw him into a deep pit in the forest, and erected over him a very large pile of stones, and all Israel fled each to his own tent. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and set up for himself a memorial stone, which is in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to continue my name." So he named the memorial stone after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Please let me run and bring the king news that the Lord has freed him from the hand of his enemies." But Joab said to him, "You are not the man to bring news this day, but you shall bring news another day. However, you shall bring no news this day, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. However, Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." And Joab said, "Why would you run, my son, since you will have no messenger's reward for going?" "But whatever happens," he said, "I will run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and passed by the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went to the roof of the gate by the wall, and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was running by himself. So the watchman called out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth." And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "Behold, another man is running by himself." And the king said, "This one also is bringing good news." The watchman said, "I think the running form of the first one is like the running form of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." The king said, "This is a good man, and he is coming with good news." Then Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Blessed is the Lord your God, who has turned over the men who raised their hands against my lord the king." But the king said, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great commotion, but I did not know what it was." Then the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Then behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, "Let the Lord the king receive good news, for the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you." Then the king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" Then the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king, and all who rise up against you for evil, be like that young man." Then the king trembled, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And this is what he said as he walked, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, Absalom, my son, my son." Then it was reported to Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and he mourns for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people, because the people heard it said that day, "The king is mourning over his son," and the people entered the city surreptitiously that day, just as people who are humiliated surreptitiously flee in battle. And the king covered his face and cried out with a loud voice, "My son, Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have shamed all your servants, who have saved your life today and the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, by loving those who hate you, and by hating those who love you. For you have revealed today that commanders and servants are nothing to you. For I know today that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead today, then it would be right as far as you are concerned. Now therefore arise, go out and speak kindly to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, no man will stay the night with you. And this will be worse for you than all the misfortune that has happened to you from your youth until now." So the king got up and sat at the gate. When they told all the people, saying, "Behold, the king is sitting at the gate," then all the people came before the king. Now Israel had fled, each to his tent. And all the people were quarreling throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king rescued us from the hands of our enemies and saved us from the hands of the Philistines. But now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. However, Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now then, why are you silent about bringing the king back?" Luke 16. Now he was also saying to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What am I to do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes.' And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 jugs of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down, quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 cores of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write down 80. And his master complimented the unrighteous manager, because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation of their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it is all gone, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. The one who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much, and the one who is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true wealth to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were ridiculing him. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of people, but God knows your hearts, because that which is highly esteemed among people is detestable in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John came. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, enjoying himself in splendor every day. And a poor man, named Lazarus, was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed from the scraps which fell from the rich man's table. Not only that, the dogs also were coming and licking his sores. Now it happened that the poor man died, and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's arms. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in Hades he raised his eyes, being in torment, and he saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his arms. And he cried out, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set, so that those who want to go over from here to you will not be able, nor will any people cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I request of you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment as well. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. 2 Peter 3. Beloved, this is now the second letter I am writing you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of a reminder, to remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by his word The present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him, at peace, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which there are some things that are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Proverbs 21:21-31. One who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise person scales the city of the mighty, and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. One who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proud, arrogant, scoffer are his names, one who acts with insolent pride. The desire of the lazy one puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but a person who listens will speak forever. A wicked person displays a bold face, but as for the upright, he makes his way sure. There is no wisdom, no understanding, and no plan against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Psalm 120. I cried to the Lord in my trouble, and he answered me. Rescue my soul, Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What will he give to you, and what more will he do to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior, with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, for I reside in Meshech, for I have settled among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.